Oh, what's this other one? A flood for my soul that never will run dry. Isn't that awesome? A flood for your soul. A flood of what? A flood of God that never will run dry. Open the eyes of the blind. Father, I pray right now, if there's any in this place that are blind still, that today would be the day that their eyes would be open. I ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. My soul will rest in His embrace. And then as we were singing that hymn just now, my steps were established. My steps are established. He's got a plan. He's already established the path He wants me to walk on. It would be good for me to walk in the Spirit and find that path and stay on it. Amen. Anybody find that a valuable thing, that path of God? Sometimes it's a difficult thing because, as the Bible says, our spirit wars with the flesh. Our flesh wants to take another path. But if I stay on them steps that God has established for me, hallelujah, then there is a flood for my soul that never shall run dry. Amen. I want to pick up this week where I left off last week. If I get my nose to stop running, it would help. Hallelujah. It's good for a preacher's mouth to be running, but not his nose, right? Go ahead, where we were. Okay. This is where we left off last week. I threw these questions up there, and I want to talk about just a few of them, but I want to show them just in case you weren't here last week. There were some questions that the Spirit of God had put on my heart, and so I wrote them down, and then I brought them last week, and here they are. What do you know about God and His will? Hopefully you know something about God and His will. What should you know? You know, that's a good question that we should ask ourselves occasionally. And again, it doesn't matter how mature you are in the Lord. It's always a good thing to ask for more, ask deeper questions, ask God, you know, what should I know that I don't know right now? Is there any know-it-alls in the house? How many like the person that knows it all, right? We've all been in the presence of somebody that knows it all, haven't we? Yeah. Well, I'll be the first to admit I don't know it all. But I want to know as much as I possibly can. So God, what can I know? What has God inspired you to know? What's your spiritual expertise? I believe that God has something specific for each and every one of us to walk in, to flow in. I call it a spiritual expertise. That's not a biblical term. That's my term. But I like the idea that, you know what, God has, again, a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. And as we walk on that path that He has established for us, we can become an expert in doing what He's called us to do. How many feel like you're an expert at doing what God's called you to do? Ooh, some of us feel a little inadequate, right? But guess what? Through His Spirit, we can become the people that He wants us to be, and we can do the things He wants us to do. Are you teaching others what you have learned? And again, that's a very important question, and I'm gonna concentrate on two of those questions this morning. I hope. My clicker's not working, Pamela. If you could give me the next slide. Technology is a beautiful thing when it works. Amen. Oh, yes. What has God inspired you to know, and are you teaching others what you have learned? This is something that I think is very important in the world today. I think one of the reasons why our world is what it is, and I'm not going to say our city, our county, our state, our country. I'm talking about the world. I believe the world is in the shape it's in today because there aren't enough people that are taking what God has inspired them to know and sharing it with others. I would love for this church to be the church in Geneva where every single member takes the gospel and shares it with others. Where every single person who fellowships here learns how to love their neighbor in such a way that they would not allow their neighbors to live another day without them knowing who Jesus is and what he came for and how he forgives them of sin and how he offers them abundant eternal life. I'd like to see all the churches in Geneva become that. I would like to see all of Geneva become that. I would like to see all of New York State become that. I would like to see all of the United States become that. Where every believer who has been inspired by God... See, here's part of the problem, though. Not everybody believes they're inspired by God. Do you feel inspired by God? I hope so. One of the things that I've been trying to do here through the last couple of years is help people understand the inspiration of God in their lives and use it. Put it into practice. Not just for your own life, but put it into practice for the lost souls all around you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2, I'm going to read this whole chapter. Father, I pray right now as we read your word, God, that you'll just touch our hearts with it. Open our minds, open our spirits to what it is you're speaking to us. Lord, let us receive it. I pray, God, that our lives will be changed by it today. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. We read these verses not just a few weeks ago. If you don't know anything else about Scripture, if you don't know anything else about God, you need to know about Jesus Christ, and you need to make sure that other people know that you know about Jesus Christ by telling them. Make sure that others know it. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse 3, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. Who's that? Is that me and you? Weakness and fear and much trembling. Oh dear, ladies, we're going to go to the Bubble Tea Cafe Monday night at 7 o'clock. And there might be some strangers here that might hear us talking about Jesus. Sometimes that makes you a little uncomfortable. Praise God, we got some bold ones that are like, you know what, I don't care anymore. I'm going to tell them. And you know what? Let me encourage you ladies to do that. Go get involved in that group. Go hang out. I have learned just hanging out with these pastors that I hang out with. We don't always agree on everything, but we've learned how to love one another just because we show up at the table and we sit and we have conversation and we talk about life and we talk about, you know, the things going on around us and whatnot. And wow, what a powerful community building force when you just get together with people, especially out in the open, and let people see it. Let people see it. You know, go to that Bubble Tea Cafe, and later on you'll find that there'll be people in the community that'll be like, oh, you're one of those ladies that meets up there at that place. And we're like, yeah, how about you join us? I've heard this on the street. As I'm out, you know, just doing what I do for God, I've heard people say, oh, you're one of those pastors that goes to that diner every Tuesday. I'm like, yeah, that's right. You see, you get known when you put yourself out there. If we just stay in our own little closets, then nobody knows we're there. And so get out there and do that, and I encourage you ladies to do that. It's a wonderful thing. Build relationship, especially, and you know what? I'm going to say this. Even if there's somebody in the place, then you know they're going to be there, and it's somebody that you don't like, go. Learn how to love them. There are people that I don't like. I'll confess it. There are people that come along. It's like, man, I really don't like this guy. But you know what? If you will sit down with somebody, I'm just being honest. If you'll sit down with somebody and you'll spend time with them in fellowship and learn more about them and let them learn about you, those dislike things kind of disappear a little bit. And you learn how to love one another. You learn how to accept one another. I think it's a God thing for God's people to you know what? Here's a challenge for you. You know who you don't like. Make it your purpose to go and love them. Think about that for a moment. I'm getting all kinds of looks this morning. People are like, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding. Jesus has called us to love one another, hasn't he? And if there's somebody, you know what? I believe God puts, and I'm way off now. And some of you are like, yeah, you're way off, Pastor. Get back on track. I've come to the conclusion that God puts some people in our lives that we don't like in order to teach us how to love. If it were easy, everybody would do it, right? But how can we say we love somebody if we're not willing to look over their faults, if we're not willing to look over their issues and the things that we don't like about them? How can we say that we understand love? Anyway, let me get back on track. I don't even know what verse I was on. Verse 3. Oh, wow, we got all the way to... Okay, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, and the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. Is it any wonder that anybody been paying attention to the presidential race? Is it any wonder it seems like none of them know anything? I'm just throwing a question out there. Well, guess what? There's nothing new under the sun. It just said right there in verse 7, or verse 8, none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If these people that are running for office, and it doesn't matter whether it's dog catcher or president of the United States, if they knew what God wanted them to know, they probably wouldn't do the things that they're doing. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Stop right there for a moment. I love asking questions. Do you love Jesus? Because you love Jesus, the Bible says right there, there are things prepared for you. I hope you catch that. I hope you understand there are things specifically prepared for the people that love God. And if that's you, you've got something to look forward to. He's got things prepared for you. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, we've heard that verse before, verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered the heart of man. And so sometimes we read that verse and we think, oh, we can't know. There's no way for us to know all the things that God has for us. But in verse 10 there, Paul says, but God has revealed them to us. And so if you're sitting there wondering, what is it God has planned for me? Ask Him. And through His Spirit, He may reveal to you what He has planned for you. I believe He's got good things planned for each and every one of us. If not in this life, certainly in the life to come. But there's good things. And I believe there's good things in this life for each and every one of us still. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. It says we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit that comes from God. And so this takes me down another little path. Have you received the Spirit of God? You see, the apostles were very concerned about the early church. And if you go back in Acts, you can read in different places. Acts 19:2 is one of my favorites, where he says, have you received the Spirit since you believed? And what he's saying there is, you know what, you believed in Jesus Christ, but have you received His Spirit? And there are some who are afraid that, you know, I don't know, boy, the Holy Spirit stuff, that scares me. And you know what? That can be because it's a mystery. A lot of mysteries are scary. But Paul encourages us to receive it. And he says, we have received it. Why? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. If you want to know all that God has freely for you, go after His Spirit. Lord, I believe in You. Now let your Spirit fill me. Let it enter right into my soul. I want to receive your Holy Spirit so that I might know the things that are given to us by God. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I find that very interesting. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So, here we go again. If you wonder why the lost do the things that they do, and they don't understand when you're trying to explain to them, look, you need to follow Jesus. They can't know that until they choose to turn their heart to God. And so we shouldn't get all upset and all flustered. Man, can you believe what's going on in the world? Well, yeah, I can. They don't know any better because they haven't received God's Spirit. The only reason that you have any wisdom at all about what's right and what's wrong is because God's Holy Spirit told you. And then finally, verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Again, Father, I thank you for your word. Now, how does this tie into those questions that I asked? What has God inspired you to know, and are you teaching it to others? I want to look at a couple of verses in this particular passage. Well, I want to talk about these two things, inspiration and discernment. Inspiration and discernment are very important. I must have missed a slide somehow. Look at verse 12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given, which things also we speak. Now, going back to that question, are you teaching others what you have learned? You see, you have received the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit has given you something. He has given you something to know, but he wants you to take and speak that. Paul says there in verse 13, these things we speak, not in man's wisdom, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. Again, what do you know? Are you telling other people? Do you know that Jesus loves you? Yes, I know that Jesus loves me. Tell that to other people. Do you know that Jesus forgives you of your sin? Yeah, I know that. Okay, tell that to other people. Do you know that Jesus, after he died on the cross, rose from the grave? Do you know that? Yeah, I know that. Okay, tell that to other people. Do you know that if you will repent of your sins and turn to him, he'll give you everlasting life if you will follow him? Yeah, I know that. Okay, tell that to other people. When other people say, why aren't you going to the party and getting drunk and getting high with us? It's because I know something about Jesus. And let me tell you what it is. The reason why we don't do the things of the world is because we have been told something in the Spirit, and we need to let other people know. This is why I live the life that I live, because I know that God loves me, and I know that God has forgiven me of my sin, and I know that he doesn't want me to do the things of the world. And that's why I tell other people, turn to Jesus. Because I know that in the end, there's two places that I could end up. There's one that burns with eternal fire, and there's one that burns with eternal love. And that love comes from Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Tell that to other people. God has inspired you to know these things. He's inspired you to know that you're a sinner and that he died for your sin. and that because he rose again, you also will rise again, and that you will be one day with him eternally with all the saints of God. The only reason you know that is because the Spirit has told it to you. And so we need to be teaching that to other people. You have been inspired with that. Do you know that? You have been inspired with that. So now, as the Spirit inspires you to teach that to other people, teach it to other people. How many know that when you're out in the marketplace, we've all had this happen, every single one of us who've turned to the Lord, we've all been in a situation where there was a person or a friend or a neighbor or somebody where we got in a situation maybe and we had an opportunity, we felt, I'm describing me and you, we have felt God tugging in our heart saying, tell them about me. Haven't we? We've all been there. Do you know what that is? That's God inspiring you. Act upon the inspiration of God. When God inspires something, he does something. He's been inspiring me to do some crazy stuff lately. I shared this already, that he's inspired me to... we went and watched, my wife and I went to Buffalo, we were in Buffalo, and we went and watched that movie, Woodlawn. And at the end of that movie, I was like, oh, I was inspired to get up, and I went down to the front of the theater in Buffalo, and there was hundreds of people there, and I yelled up to the crowd, and I said, is everybody in this place a believer? I did that. No, Kara stood right there. She was like this. Ooh, ooh. No, not really. And their response was, yes, we believe. And I said, I just want to make sure if there's somebody who is not a believer, then talk to the person next to you who just said they believe. You need to know Jesus. And I said, because we're all believers, I said, how would you guys pray? Can we pray? And they're like, yeah, let's pray. And so I led a whole this theater in a prayer for lost souls in Buffalo. Takes one lone nut. And some of you are like, are you kidding me? What has God inspired you to do? Not that. Not yet. Oh, sister. Yeah. He's also inspired. He inspired me the other day. He worked on it. I went down to the high school, and I set up a meeting, and I sat down with the high school principal and talked to her about the drug issue in the school. Who does that? I'm like, God, what am I doing? Who am I? But you know what? After that conversation, she put me in touch with another lady that the two of them are working on something, and I called that other lady out of the blue. I just called her up. I said, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm about, and I want to help. And so she tells me about what's going on, and then during the conversation, I'm like, are you a believer? And she's like, well, yeah, I go to Crosswinds. I said, great. I said, now we can talk at a different level. And so then I started talking about the God factor and the whole drug issue with the kids and all of this stuff. And when it was all done, I learned that her son had an issue. I learned that she's got a daughter going to get some tests done and strong the next day, and when it was all, and then I'm feeling inspired. Okay, what are their names? And I asked her, she tells me their names, and I say, can I pray for them? She goes, yeah. I said, no, can I pray for them right now? She goes, oh, yeah. And so we prayed over the phone for these children. What's God inspiring you to do? Do it. He's inspired. I can't wait for the next drug form at a high school. Where's Meredith? She had to go. Last time I saw her, I said, man, God's, I got a plan. God's giving me some idea. There's a plan. And it's going to be a similar experience as the movie theater where I'm going to go up to the front and I'm going to do something. Why? Because I feel inspired to. I'm not talking stupid. Well, maybe. In the natural, it's stupid. But in the spiritual, we understand. Thank you, sister. Why? Because we've been inspired by God to know something, and it's important that we speak it. Who cares if they think, hey, that guy's nuts? Well, guess what? I am. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. If one person hears that Jesus loves them, if one person hears that Jesus can heal them and that Jesus can take them out of that drug culture or alcohol or whatever the issue is in somebody's life, and they grab hold of it and their life gets changed, I'll gladly stand in front of as many people as it takes to shout his name. That's not exactly what I'm going to do, but I'm going to make a point. I can't wait for that day. It's coming. Which things also we speak. Not the words of men, but what the Holy Spirit teaches. Guess what? The Holy Spirit teaches, right? What's he teaching you? And what are you speaking to others about it? Now, verse 14 there said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know him, because they are spiritually discerned. And that's why I want to talk a little bit this morning about inspiration, that which God has called you to do, that which God has given you to know, and that which God has put you in the place or the position to share that with others. That's inspiration from God, but also discernment. But before I go to discernment, let's look at inspiration just a little bit more. The scriptures are inspired. This is from the Assemblies of God website. If you go to the Assemblies of God website, you'll find fundamental truths. There are 16 fundamental truths that if you're going to be an Assembly of God church, you have to believe these things. This is number one. The very first thing in the Assemblies of God that they want you to believe is that the scriptures are inspired. The scriptures, both the Old and the New Testament, are verbally inspired of God and are the revelation of God to man, the infallible, authoritative rule of faith and conduct. I believe that. I totally believe that, that God inspired it all and that we should adhere to it. And one of the verses that they, passages of Scripture that they hang this belief on is right here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. That from a child, and when he's talking about that, from a child, from the moment you became a believer, a newborn believer, born again is the term that we like to throw out there. From a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. How do you get wise to salvation? By putting your faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's all given by what? By inspiration. I love the idea that there were 40 men throughout history that understood that, wow, this is something God has given me. I need to write it down. And they wrote 66 books that we put together and call it our Bible. Every word of it, I believe, is inspired by God. Well, that's a kindness card. Hallelujah. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to do what? All good works. You see, it all comes from the inspiration of God. Job chapter 32, verse 8, the second half of the verse, I believe, it says this: there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. It's talking about you and I. We all have a spirit. There's a spirit in us. And it says there that the inspiration of who? The Almighty gives them understanding. I love the inspiration of God. I want you to pay attention to the inspiration of God. Make it, you know, a lot of times, again, I'm tired of living life by default. I like doing things intentionally. And so, by the way, that reminded me, did anybody read Colossians last week, the whole book? Anybody? Some of you. All right, a couple of you did your homework. Did you find that beneficial? Yeah, that's a good book to read. Some of you who didn't do your homework, you can still catch up this week. Book of Colossians. Some of you are like, oh man, I forgot. But we do things, we should be doing things intentionally. Okay? Intentionally. And so, I want to encourage you, intentionally pay attention to the inspiration that God gives you on a daily basis. Well, God doesn't inspire me daily. Yes, he does. You're just not listening. You're not paying attention. You're not being intentional. Paul's ready to jump out of his seat here. Amen. You know, I love Paul. He grabs just the simplest things, and he holds on to them. Before you put your feet on the floor, Sarah Shell, in the morning, before you get out of that bed, start talking to God. Set your mind on things above, right there. Start your prayer right there. Don't let your feet touch the floor until you've had a conversation with Jesus. What an awesome principle. Helpful too, isn't it? I think so. I know Paul does. But be intentional. Wake up in the morning, and before you put your feet on the floor, Lord, what do you want to inspire me to do today? Or ask him, God, please inspire me today. And let me know it's you inspiring me. And then act on that inspiration. Do something with it. Because it's the Almighty that gives understanding. It's God that gives inspiration. Do something with it. Now, I also want to talk about discernment. Look at 1 Kings chapter 3. Because how many know that sometimes knowing what to do is only part of it? Getting the inspiration is only part of it. Having the wisdom to know what to do with it, that's another whole thing. Where am I? 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. The Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? In a dream by night, God, do you know that God likes to use dreams? What's he saying? In the last days, the young man will what? See visions, the old man will do what? Dream dreams. How many of us are old? How many of us are young? Hallelujah. Visions and dreams. God speaks to us through those things. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe he still wants to influence our dreams. He wants to show up in our dreams. I had somebody sent me a text the other day. He said, I was standing next to a chalkboard that had been wiped clean, standing next to Jesus in front of a chalkboard that had just been wiped clean. And I said, brother, sounds like God is just giving you a fresh start. And he said, oh, for your information, Jesus is just as tall as me. And I said, of course he is. You're his temple. He fits right inside. You're the same size. Oh, yeah. So next time you wonder what Jesus looks like, just look in the mirror. He's this tall and he's this wide or whatever. He's right inside. He's a lot shorter than I thought, isn't he? Yeah. And so pay attention. Pay attention. Do you know you can pay attention to your dreams? I've been in spiritual battles in my dreams. I remember one night I was fighting the devil, and this is I may have told you this. I was in a serious fight with it, and I'm choking. And he wasn't dying. I'd squeeze him a little tighter, and he wasn't dying. He'd squeeze him a little tighter, and I'm just about to get the victory. My wife woke me up. It was real. It was so real. She woke me up because she thought I was going to die physically. I don't know what I was doing. My breathing was what I was in a fight, man. But apparently I was fighting in the spirit, in this dream, but it was coming out, manifesting somehow physically, that my wife got nervous and woke me up. I'm like, man, I was just about to win. I had a few of those. But I knew it. There's been other times where I knew there was a demon in my dream, and I'm like, okay, I'm done with you. And I made myself wake up because I just got tired of it. You can control what happens in your dreams at times. But anyway, I don't want to get off on that. Where was I? Dream by night. Verse 6, and Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. You know, that is such an awesome confession. You know what? Here I am. I'm a new believer in God. I don't know the first thing. I don't know how to go out, and I don't know how to come in. You know, it's good to be honest with God. Lord, I don't have a clue here. Please help me. He says, I do not know how to go out and come in. In verse 8, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? How far was I going? Verse 11. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor asked riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. You see, it's one thing to have inspiration from God, and God gives us inspiration, but it's another whole thing to have discernment that goes along with that inspiration. You see, God wants us to be wise when it concerns things of righteousness, when it concerns things of right and wrong. You know, sometimes doing the right thing at the wrong time, it's inappropriate. Sometimes, you know, we get it mixed up. Sometimes we get it messed up. Sometimes, you know, okay, God's given me an inspiration to do this, but I did it in the wrong place. Or I did it at the wrong time. We need discernment. Or I did it for the wrong person. You know, I like to pray for people, but I really want to hear God's inspiration when I pray for people. I want to have discernment to be able to pray for people in a way that blesses them. Not everybody, you know, there'll be people, oh, I'm not telling you, I just, special unspoken. Okay, well, special unspoken, let me speak to that unspoken, because God knows exactly what it is. And he wants you to be blessed in that area of your life. And so discernment is a very important thing. You know, back in 2 Corinthians, at the end of verse 14 there, it said, neither can they know because they are spiritually discerned, which means they didn't have any discernment. And so they couldn't know what the inspiration of God was. And so the two, I think, kind of go hand in hand. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 5 says, a wise man's heart, the second half of the verse says, a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. In other words, you know the right time to say something, and you know the right thing to say in that time. You know the right time to do something, and you know the right thing to do in that time. That's what a wise man's heart discerns. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, but strong meat belongs to them. I mentioned this last week, earlier, but just before this, it's talking about, well, you know, you ought to be teachers by now. But then he says, the strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Discernment is very important. You want the deeper things of God? You're going to need some discernment on his word. You're going to need some discernment on what's going on in the spirit realm around you. And I'm going to close with, and I know I brushed through that rather quickly, and maybe we'll touch on it some more next week. I'm not sure. I haven't discerned that yet. But I want to close this portion with this portion of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Does anybody get inspired to do something today? Hallelujah. Some of you are like looking at the clock. Oh, it's a little after 12. I'm inspired to go get lunch. You see, it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. See, God wants us to know things. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants those who follow Him to know things. And what He wants us to know here is what spiritual gifts are available. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. That was us, wasn't it? We were carried away to these dumb idols, however they led us. Verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I like that idea. The Holy Spirit, it's good all the time. If someone's talking about Jesus in a positive light, it's because of the Holy Spirit. If somebody's talking about Jesus in a negative light, they don't know the Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. I like that also. Diversities of gifts and differences of ministries. You don't have to do it the way I do it. I don't have to do it the way you do it. God created you with your personality, your speaking style, your whatever, your persona. We may have the same ministry. We may do it in different ways. That's okay. Please don't imitate me. Most of you are like, no way would I. Don't be an imitator of anybody. I've been to services where the worship band is trying to imitate the latest, greatest worship band, where the preacher is trying to imitate the latest, greatest preacher, the way they dress, the way they talk, all the stuff. It's like, you know, I wore jeans today just because, you know what, that's what I wear. Sometimes I dress nice, sometimes I dress casual, so whatever. But I got up this morning, I said, you know what, I'm just going to wear jeans today. Hope it blessed somebody. I see a lot of other people here wearing jeans. Why can't I wear jeans? No, he doesn't care what he... I don't care. Well, there is a line. We do have to care somewhat of what we wear. But there's diversities. There's differences in ministries. But the same Lord. And there, verse 6, there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Diversities of activities. Do you know that if I went out there to mow the lawn, I would do it differently than you do? Do you know that? There's probably a good chance that I would do it differently than you. Somebody here would be like the most perfect. I mean, every blade of grass. If there was one sticking up, they'd run out there with a pair of scissors and cut it off. So there's a few of you. I'd be like just all over the place. I had a young lady mow my lawn one time from Buffalo. Never, ever mowed a lawn. She lived in Buffalo her whole life. She was over to my house at a campfire. And I said, well, there's a lawnmower. Go mow the lawn. She got on my riding lawnmower. And, I mean, she didn't have a clue. She drove in circles and straights and this way and that way. And when she was all done and gone, I had to do it again because it was, you know, patch over here and over there. And it's like diversity of activities. She definitely did it different than I do. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Again, inspiration. God has inspired you to do something. Why? Because He wants to use you to bless everybody else with it. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. You know, let me just stop for a moment there. Just those there, we could talk all the rest of the day on these things. And as God has taken me through a circumstance where I had to learn how to just trust Him. And in that circumstance, my faith has grown. And now I come along with other believers and I see their circumstance. I say, look, you just got to trust God. You got to exercise some faith there. And they don't get it. It's like, and I think, well, they should get it. Well, you know what? But by the time they get through that experience, perhaps maybe they will. You know, each of us need to go through our own trial and tribulation. You can't build physical muscle in my body, can you? No. You can lift weights all day long and you can become this powerhouse and you can look at me and I'm still going to be this wimpy thing. Unless I go pick up the weight too and do that work for myself. And so with that illustration, I can understand, okay, maybe somebody who doesn't seem to have the faith that I have, well, you know what? Let me encourage you as you go through this battle, as you struggle with this situation, because your faith is being exercised, and you may get to the place where we're both like Hulk standing in front of the mirror, spiritually. Gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as He will. And you know, it's important that we understand it's God who works in us. What's God's will in your life? What's He inspiring you to do? Grab hold of that inspiration. Ask God for discernment with it. And then go out there and bless somebody with it. Amen. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. If you don't know yet what God has called you to do, and maybe all He's called you to do is on next Thursday at 10 o'clock, He's going to put somebody in your presence, and on that moment, He's going to inspire you to say something. Maybe that's all He called you to do this week. If that's it, then do it. I tend to think that He calls us to do things on a daily basis. You know, maybe it's one of those things that if you're faithful in the little thing, He'll give you more. So maybe if you do make that appointment at 10 o'clock on Thursday and you do share God's love with that person He puts in your life at that moment at 10 o'clock, every one of you are going to be like, whoa, it's Thursday, 10 o'clock. But no, maybe if that's all He's giving you to do, and if you do that, then maybe on Friday He'll give you more. Maybe on Saturday He'll give you more. And maybe that's why I feel like, oh, wow, every day there's an opportunity. Because I'm intentionally looking for inspiration from God, intentionally trying to work out some discernment and understanding about that inspiration so I get it right. Because I want to have a God moment. You remember that message I preached about hitting a target? My wife told me that last week, she was all excited. She goes, I had one of your days. I'm like, oh, you hit the target today. She goes, yeah. If you don't know what it is yet, be praying. Let's start right now. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank You, God, that You give good gifts and that You inspire us, oh God, to have an impact on this world around us. And Lord, I pray for discernment, that each and every one of us would come to understand the spiritual gifts that You have put in our lives in order, God, that we could bless others with. It's profitable for all. And so, God, I pray right now that if there's anybody here that doesn't understand what inspiration is, that You'll give them some even this moment. That You'll just speak to their heart and You'll draw on their spirit and You'll tug at their heart. That they would know, ooh, this is something God wants to do. Lord, give us inspiration. Give us discernment. And give us people to bless it with. Father, if all it is to bless the person who already knows You just with a word of encouragement, then may we do that. But Lord, if it is to lead somebody to the cross in repentance and salvation, then God, let us do that. But God, help us to be led by Your Spirit. And help us, God, to know the when, the where, the why, and the how. because we don't want to miss anything that pertains to your will. So God, bless each one here today with inspiration and with discernment and with the joy that comes along with serving you. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you all. Sure, absolutely.
So anyway, I know the guy, and I picked up the material, some of it, and he picked up the rest of it and brought it out, and I asked him how things are going. He said his wife's got cancer, and she wasn't doing too good. So we got to talk a little bit more about that, and then she came out, and for some unreason, I don't know what happened. God said, you better pray for her. So I said to her, he says, is it all right if I pray for you? And she thought, well, I'm going to go to church and next Sunday or something and pray for her. I said, no, right now. So I hugged her and prayed for her, and I thought, I couldn't believe I did that, really. But so I just hope my prayers worked for her.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. There are so many opportunities out there. You know, when I said to that lady on the phone the other day, no, I want to pray for him right now, she's like, oh, okay. I told you another story where the lady at Lowe's, I just help her carry your wood to her car, and on the way to her car, I find out what the wood's for, and it's like, oh my gosh, can I pray with you? Yeah. God will give you those opportunities. You going to say something else?
I just going to say she was quite surprised that I did that right then and there out in front of Ashley's. You know, I thought, I don't care.
Awesome. Awesome. I got a... Yes. Okay. Oh. Do you know his name? Tyler? Okay. Tyler, where is he from? Seattle?
Well, he's missing.
16-year-old boy missing. It's a brother of a friend of Kylie's. Also, I was online last night, and all of a sudden, Bill Morling, not this Bill, but his son Bill, shot me a little note on Facebook, so I had a little conversation with him. Jenny's getting stronger, but she's not out of the woods yet. And so they would like continued prayer. And Bill didn't elaborate everything, but apparently there's some stuff going on over there that the way he described it is there's whatever's going on there is burning out a lot of people that are working there. And so he was asking for prayer. So I said, yeah, we certainly will pray for Bill and Jen over in Papua New Guinea. You know, how would you like to be just, wow. I mean, talk about inspiration and discernment. You need some inspiration and discernment before you go to a place like that in the world of a minister. And I trust that that's what they've gotten, but they can certainly use some prayer in that. Yes?
Kelly had part of her big toe cut off.
They cut it off?
It was cut off.
Oh, it got cut off.
Yeah. And she really needs.
Kelly had part of it. Wow, that's got to hurt. Oh.
Yeah, she's really having trouble with that.
Oh. All right, let's anyone else? We got Tyler, and we got Kelly, we got Bill and Jen. Let's pray for these. Father, we come before you and we lift these names up to you. We lift up Tyler, wherever he is, God, you know where he is. I pray that you would inspire him to call us home. Inspire him, Lord God, to go back home. Give his family assurance that he's in your care and that you've got an eye on him. God, bless him, return him to his family safe. Father, I pray for Kelly that this... painful injury on her toe, Lord, that you would heal it, you'd take away the pain, that you'd cause it, Lord, not to have any residual effect on her life. But God, it'd just be one of those things that heals and is done away with and forgotten. Bless her, Lord God, with a healing today and a mighty miracle. And Lord, we also lift up to you Bill and Jennifer, Lord, she's been sick for so long, and it's in a place in the world where there really is no help. So God, we put her in your hands. Our faith is in you. I pray you touch her, that you heal her. Remove any infirmity that's in her body, Lord God. Anything that's causing this sickness, just drive it out of her right now. Remove it. Give her strength. And I pray for Bill and the rest of the teams there. Whatever's going on, Father, that your Holy Spirit would take over that land. And God, that all the work that they have put into ministering to and reaching out to the people in Papua New Guinea and all around that country, I pray that they would begin to see the fruit of it, Lord God, and that nation would be transformed by the power of your Spirit. Lord, bless them. Save souls. Give the workers strength and encouragement. Provide for them their every need. And bless them with joy, I pray, in their serving. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you all. We'll be back here tonight at 6 o'clock. Continuing on, we have a few more chapters we've got to finish up in our externally focused church book. And so please come back tonight. We'll see you then. And have a great afternoon. Love you all.